Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friends, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living, so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into it, it is time for viewer mail. You know, a couple weeks ago, well, probably a couple months ago, it all runs together. But I was talking about the fact that sometimes what God wants in your life and what we want in our life are not the same thing. And I had made the point that when I was a young child, what I really, really wanted, what I thought would make me happy, was a green plastic dinosaur. This is what I want. So my father came to me and he said, son, it's time to go to the doctors because it's time to get your shots. And I said, Dad, I don't need shots. What I need is a green plastic dinosaur. And well, you can only imagine how that worked out. So anyway, a partner sent to me in the mail, and I lost the box, so I don't have the name. Whoever you are, you know who you are. Somebody's actually listening out there, and they sent me a green plastic dinosaur that makes a scary noise and really upset Stormy. You know, speaking of Stormy, I had another partner send me, and I do have their name. This is Joe and Cornelia, and they're from North Andover, Massachusetts. And they sent me a little surprise. And what did they send me? Oh, yeah, it's a Stormy coffee cup. Now, watch this. On the other side, when I'm drinking the coffee, who do I get to look at? Oh, I don't know where they got that picture, but that's really nice. Thank you. I really appreciate it because, of course, Stormy, she is the star. Well, Jesus is the star of Daily Living, but Stormy thinks she is. What do you say? We quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, we spend so much time running here, running there, doing this and doing that. How often do we just stop and say, what am I doing? Where am I going? Well, the good news about the good news is that God wants to lead you. And He does it in many, many ways. But one very powerful way is His Word, because His Word is alive and it will meet you where it finds you. My friends, we're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? God has got a lesson for you today. Are you ready to receive it? We are hearing from the Gospel of John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, there's a whole lot here calling the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk all about this gospel. It's short, but it packs a lot of punch. Here as we celebrate Pentecost and how we can apply this into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we celebrate Pentecost, my favorite Sunday of the year. Yes, I know Christmas and Easter, they get all the attention, but today, Pentecost, gift of the Spirit, come on now. How could this not be the greatest? Imagine for a moment that the good news is a symphony. And as the melody begins softly and slowly in Bethlehem, it starts to build and build and build. And by the time you get to the Passion, the kettle drums are wailing, everything's coming together, and it all comes crashing down on that one final note, the boom, the great crescendo. And the great crescendo of Christianity, the boom, if you will, the final note, is today. Oh yeah, Pentecost. Love it. Penta, Greek for 50, because we're 50 days away from an empty tomb. He is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. This, of course, is the paragon of our faith, and fairly confident. We all know the story, most of us, since we were children. And if I was to ask most people, hey, you know, why did Jesus die on the cross? I think most would say, well, he died for our sins. He died for the sins of the world. He died to reconcile us to our Father. And of course, this is true. This is what we profess. And if someone wants to debate that, you know, challenge us, it becomes, well, a little uncomfortable. Because looking at this on the other side of the issue, I mean, how can we believe in such a thing? Jesus rising from the dead, really? People generally do not come back from the dead. You know, I remember years ago, I was watching a debate on TV between an atheist and a theologian. And the theologian was trying to defend Christianity through logic, which, of course, you can't do that. And as he was laying out his position, the atheist, oh, he just went in for the kill. I'm grinning ear to ear, just tore into his arguments, mocked him, jeered him. The crowd loved it. And I remember feeling a bit uncomfortable. I was thinking, well, what if I'm wrong? What if everything I've ever been told about Jesus is like some kind of myth? How can this story be true? How can we come to believe? Well, my friends, that's what I want to talk to you about today. How do we, in fact, come to believe? How does belief move into a rock-solid faith where you just know? Today we find ourselves in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. And the disciples are hiding out in the upper room full of fear. And for good reason. The body has come up missing, and they are the prime suspects. On the evening of the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Now, I find this fascinating. Not so much in what he said, but rather what he didn't say. Because I got to tell you, if I had been arrested and crucified the night before, and all my friends run away, I believe I'd have something to say about that issue the next time I saw him. But not Jesus. He does not scowl. He does not say, hey guys, where'd you all go? He says, shalom. Peace be with you. Shalom. I love that word, shalom. It's a traditional Jewish greeting, shalom. It is short for mush shalom ka, which translates as how's your peace? And let me tell you, for this room right now, the short answer to that question would be not good, because there was not a whole lot of peace in that room. And now they're seeing a ghost came right through the door. And contrary to Calvin, did not climb through a window. And the first thing he says is, peace be with you. In fact, he will say, peace be with you, two times in this very short gospel. In fact, the very first time he appears in this upper room, he said it three times, peace be with you. That's five times, peace be with you. So you would think we would get this. But do we? No, not at all. We are such a fearful people. So Jesus shows them his side, his hands, and in that moment, they come to believe. So again, how do they come to believe? Well, it wasn't while they were following him around for 3 years. It wasn't after they heard all those amazing teachings. It wasn't the miracles. No, no, no. They only believed once they were confronted with evidence. The wound in his side, the wounds in his hands. And while it doesn't necessarily surprise me that the resurrected body of Jesus could move through walls, I do find it a bit curious that the resurrected body of Jesus would still have the wounds of his crucifixion. I was kind of thinking that when we got to the other side of this life, our resurrected bodies would not bear the scars of this life. And this eyebrow would finally be straight. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we celebrate Pentecost and how we can apply all of this into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we have Jesus appearing to his disciples. And we had noted that the resurrected body of Jesus continues to carry the wounds of his crucifixion. Why? Well, I don't know for sure. I mean, we're just talking, but maybe he knew that those wounds would serve as evidence, and that evidence would cause the disciples to believe. When they saw this, they rejoiced. And Jesus goes on to say, once again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Now, it's fairly safe to say that, you know, when Jesus was coming to visit his disciples, he would kind of know that he would find them overcome with fear and despair, as evidenced by the first thing he says, peace be with you. And I find it interesting, he doesn't spend a whole lot of time making a case for having risen from the dead, but I suppose it's pretty self-evident. But I also find it interesting that he doesn't seem to be focusing on eternal life, which is what rising from the dead would seem to imply. But at least for now, his focus seems to be on this life. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. My friends, I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the Easter story. You know, the tomb is empty, he is risen, hallelujah, hallelujah. It seems like it's the end of the story. Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead, and hopefully we will rise from the dead and go to heaven and join him. But here Jesus, as he's appearing to his disciples after his death, is making it pretty apparent that the mission is just getting started. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Send you where? On a mission. Now, how are we going to do this mission? And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. If there's one moment that you could look to in Christianity and say, right here. I mean, if Christianity was a piece of chocolate, this would be the nugget inside. He breathed on them. This is the breath of life, the spirit of truth. The Greek word pneuma, we talked about this last week, remember? Pneuma. That Greek word is found in Genesis. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. The breath of life. And what is life? Well, life is a combination of three things: spirit, intellect, body. When God said to Adam, every tree in the garden you may freely eat of, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, I'm fairly confident most of us know this story, and we know that Adam and Eve did, in fact, eat of that tree. But did they die? Well, obviously not, because if they had, we wouldn't be here. But something died, because if not, that would make God a liar, and that's not happening. So what died? What died that day? Well, to answer that question, let's go to Genesis. Let us make man in our own image. What does that really mean? Well, beginning with let us. I mean, who is he talking to? Well, he's talking to Trinity. He's talking to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that have been there from the beginning. Well, actually, beyond the beginning, because there was no beginning. Always was, always will be. But let us make man in our own image. What does that really mean? Does that mean that when I look in the mirror, this is what God looks like? Because I was hoping for better. Of course not. No. God is spirit. So if it's not a physical body, it must be something else. What is that something else? We are made in the image of God. What does that really mean? Well, what it means is that we share his essence. We share essence with God. And what is the essence of God? Well, first and foremost, his essence is to create. So as creatures made in his image, as we are, then we are many creators, right? And how does God create? He speaks all things into existence. Let there be this, let there be that, and they come to be. So we know that part of the essence of God is that his words have creative power. And since we were made in his image, our words have creative power. And boy, that's true. We can speak life into this world. We can speak death into this world. It's our choice. Now, another part of the essence of God is that God is eternal. So we who are created in his image are also eternal. Or at least we used to be. Because, my friends, that is what died that day. Remember, we are spirit, intellect, body, and our spirit died that day. Oh yeah, the flesh went on living, but our pneuma died. Because the wages of sin is death. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why? To revive in us what had died that day. God is offering us a do-over, if you will, through his son, Christ Jesus. Pneuma, the breath of life, first breathed into Adam. As Jesus says in our gospel today, receive the Holy Spirit. He is pouring out pneuma into his disciples. Remember Nicodemus, Jesus told him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is what that looks like. This is what we're seeing here in our gospel today. These are the very first people in the history of the world that are born again. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The same spirit that moved across the deep in Genesis. The same spirit that came to rest on the prophets. The same spirit that came to rest on Mary and the fruit of her womb, Jesus. The same spirit that came down in the form of a dove at the banks of the River Jordan as Jesus was being baptized. The same spirit that drove him into the desert for 40 days. Now Jesus is saying, as the Father has sent me, so I send you with the Spirit of truth, with the breath of life, with pneuma. Again, this is what it means to be born again. You receive the breath of life. You receive the Spirit of truth. A spirit that this world does not accept because it neither knows it or sees it, but you know it, for it is with you and it will be in you. Breath of life, spirit of truth, pneuma. And that, my friends, is how we come to believe. This is how belief moves to rock solid faith. Remember, when Jesus was just about ready to ascend to his Father, he was with his disciples for the very last time. And what did he tell them? He said, stay here. Don't move. Don't do anything. Just wait for the promise of the Father. And what promise was he talking about? Well, it's the promise that comes true today. Pentecost, the breath of life, the spirit of truth, pneuma. Poured out into this world that lit a spark, that spread to a flame that continues to burn all over this world today, which is why Pentecost is my favorite Sunday of the year. It's our birthday. Pentecost, the birthday of the church. The gift of the Spirit. The breath of life, the spirit of truth, pneuma, that wants to live in you today. It is how we come to believe the unbelievable. It is how fragile belief becomes rock solid faith. It is how we come to understand the mission, the spirit of truth, pneuma. It gives you purpose in life. It gives life meaning. There is no greater tragedy than a life without meaning. And the more disconnected we are from pneuma, the more meaningless life becomes. But the good news about the good news is that Jesus is offering you pneuma today. He's knocking on your door, and I think it's high time you let him in. So, my friends, how do we believe in the unbelievable? Well, we believe through the Spirit of truth, the breath of life, pneuma, which reveals all things. Does that sound good to you? It is available to you today, right here, right now. If you truly seek God's will and ask God to come into your heart, simply say, "Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my unbelief." If you pray that prayer, God will send you pneuma to light your path and guide you to all truth. It is a gift, and it's a gift that will lead you to God and eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because it's not that he rose from the dead, my friend. It is he is risen today. He's with us now, right here, right now. Happy Pentecost. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.